brothers.
Oh, yeah.
It's me, Austin.
Awesome.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I lie.
Oh, you didn't know?
And I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
See, I just didn't stand.
You just made the list.
Bam.
Welcome to WEG. welcome to the WWEGL, Lugan 91.1 FM. I'm your host, Logan Herson. And I'm, of course, joined by my co-host, Thinking Mac Killer, Cooper Prater.
God bless Mr. Christopher Hero.
The natural, no Phillips.
At least when the finger poke of doom happened, the NWO got formed back.
The WWEGL champion of the world, the giant, Jack Dudley.
The biggest icon in wrestling.
And once again, coming in as special guest, as he couldn't wait to slander CM Punk, the awesome Alex Houston.
That's right. I lied last week. I'm back. I want you to imagine, close your eyes for a moment. You hear it in the distance. That's right. It's Hulk Hogan's TNA music, brother. I'm back. All this talk about New Japan only got you so far. We're back on the draw in wrestling, CM Punk.
Well, you know, we already ripped the Band-Aid off. They showed the footage.
Sure did.
They sure showed the footage. You know, WVJ, we've been pretty good. I think other than him getting fired, about really delving in on a lot of the CM Punk stuff. One, because of timing. There's more important actual wrestling to talk about.
Yeah.
But when they canonically show this on free TV.
Yeah, when this is a part of the wrestling.
This is a part of the storyline and everything with the scapegoat and FTR versus Bucks. You know, we're going to open no time limit. You know, say your piece. Who wants to go first? I feel like Alex is like, he's itching. He's itching.
I really wasn't. You invited me onto the show. Anyway, so I will admit, as someone who does not watch the product, that's trademarked, by the way, I did, in fact, watch this episode of AEW Dynamite from start to finish. And I almost turned it off when I saw the countdown to the promo by the Bucks. That was almost my point when I was like, you know, maybe it's not worth it in the end. But I did decide to watch it, which I liked most of the episode to my memory that I can recall. I thought the opening was good. Chris Jericho's the worst wrestler on the planet. Other than that, it was great. I think that this was just, in the end, you almost come away feeling like it's pointless, right? Because you watch it, and it doesn't really give us any new information, as opposed to the fact that, shockingly, CM Punk painted it to sound like he was totally okay, which, duh, we knew that already. You knew that when he says, I just choked somebody a little bit. That's bad. The fact that he didn't mention that he punched or shoved in the facial area Jack Perry twice is not surprising to me, so that's not new. And in the end, it just feels like I'm waiting for AEW to almost fire the first shot at some point. Because it feels like most of what they do is reactionary, which is not to say that WWE's not giving them reasons to react. They are. We've all seen what they did the whole WrestleMania media weekend, everybody dodges the grind, whatever. But, like, if you really want to get out in front of this, you gave this guy two chances. He fought dudes twice. Air the footage the next Wednesday after Wembley, dude. I mean, like, go out in front of something. Because after this, it just feels like you're playing from behind. And again, like we talked about, I think, over text, like the people that, or Trevor Dame tweeted it, and we obviously got to cite him because he's a genius, that the people that liked Punk and thought Punk was the good guy feel the exact same way. And the people that did not like Punk, myself included, feel the exact same way. So it did not really change anything, in my opinion. Obviously, it gives you the full story, but what does it add? I don't know. And to me, as a watcher of the product for the first time in a while, I was like, man, this Young Bucks promo is great. And then it just ended because we had to watch this video. I thought they could have been goofy heels for like 20 more minutes. Would have loved that. Would have been great. And in the end, the end result of all of this on your TV show is it got fans to chant CM Punk at the Young Bucks. And if that's your end goal, I don't really know what you're doing. I also do want to mention something. I'm just curious what you guys think about this. Somebody mentioned, because a lot of people have been, you know, the tribalism going back and forth. Well, WWE did it first with the running from the grind, spending all of WrestleMania weekend in the press. And somebody mentioned that they felt that WWE gets not a pass from that, but they're not doing it on their television show, right? Like, they're doing interviews with ESPN and their own set of interviews with Pat McAfee, who works for them, and talking about it, but they're not spending their 3 hours a week on television talking about it, if that makes any sense. I mean, in that particular case, whereas AEW was taking airtime to talk about it, and I'm wondering how you guys feel about that. I didn't know how to feel myself. I was like, okay, that's something I hadn't thought about in dealing with the whole situation. I also did think that having Ospreay come out right after was poorly timed. Cooper, I think you mentioned the same thing. I don't know if I hate the promo because, like, we know who Triple H was talking about, right? Like, even though he didn't say Ospreay, I think we know.
You'd have to be pretty dense.
Yeah.
Right?
That so, it was Ospreay.
Exactly. So I don't hate allowing Ospreay to talk to say that because he is the best wrestler in the world. And he also, I think, nicely just said it, cut it off, talked about Danielson, and helped you forget about it a bit easier than this Punk thing did. But doing it back-to-back was like, okay, two straight, essentially WWE segments back-to-back is a little rough just for me. But that's most of my thoughts. In the end, I mean, Punk is goofy. This whole thing is ridiculous. And, I mean, like, I think the fact that he's pretending that it's not as big of a deal as it is kind of crazy. Like, yeah, we casually fight people at work, man. Like, I'm about to go to work tomorrow and just start throwing stuff. Actually, no, that's not what a normal human being does, but he did it twice. And this whole thing is just, ugh.
Well, I can tell you, Alex, you said AEW gets nothing out of it. They get Chris Hero and a salmon shirt out of it. And I think we get Chris Hero on our TV screens, you know, for one reason. Two, it does what it's going to actually do. Like, 100, like, you can write this down. Cooper agrees with me on this one. Scapegoat Jack Perry is going to be in AEW back imminently, I predict, at Dynasty, probably in the FTR Bucks match, probably costing FTR the titles. Like, I would go as far as say, like, I'm pretty confident that's going to happen. This is one way to reestablish him on TV, especially, and also set up even more nuclear heat that he was already going to get in Chicago at Windy City Riot. If you watch that match, dude was, I mean, that crowd was ready to pounce. Also, oh, Cry Me a River.
And turned it around.
Yep.
And became over like Rover.
Exactly.
Like, immediately after.
But I still don't think they, in my opinion, they shouldn't have aired the footage. I feel like it was just a little too late. I agree. I don't think, but at the same time, it's just, gosh, I'm just getting so tired of the app we call X. The only good thing for X is buying All Japan and New Japan compilation records, I guess, because, like,
that's true. That is the only good interaction that any of us have ever had there
on X. Because, like, man,
shout out Coletta Rand.
Yeah, shout out. Like, people are saying AEW. Like, I'm like having to like mute accounts on like all my social media pages because they're like, AEW's dying.
WCW 2000.
You know, it's over. It's like, and I think back, like, I still don't think it's WCW. I think it was a dumb move. I think it's something that we're gonna talk about forever. Because it's crazy that it happened. Ultimately, what happened in the footage is kind of what we already knew. Again, I agree with Alex. I'm not going to change anybody's like perspectives. Punk's an idiot. Chris Hero's awesome. Honestly, I just feel really bad for Jack Perry. Because, like, should he be suspended? Yeah, he did a little drama. And, you know, ultimately he was in the scuffle. Didn't really do much, but he was in the scuffle. But, like, bro, basically, Punk came up to him, pie-faced him, and then put him in a choke. And that dude got suspended for, like, 7 months, you know? Like, I don't feel like he should, or, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Even before showing up in Japan, he just was gone for,
yeah,
like, a solid, like, 5 to 6 months. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, I'm fine with even, like, a month, maybe even a 2 month. Like, I think it's a little excessive, but, like, sure. But, like, 6 months for something that he really didn't even do, that's, you know, Punk. I felt bad for him. I think, ultimately, it's just, like, it made a very toxic wrestling environment forever. Now everyone's going to be like, AEW in the... I mean, they're already like that. But, like, now it's they're going to just, like, I'm just going to hear it all the time. So I kind of wish they wouldn't have aired it. But at the same time, I think it's hilarious. Like, I feel like we all feel like it's hilarious.
It is
objectively
very funny.
I would certainly say that. If I may, though, I don't... Obviously, I feel bad for Jack Perry because the response is not justified compared to what he did. Because what he did was so, like, not that big of a deal, but, like, I don't know what his end goal was. Like, he goes on the biggest show in the history of the company.
Get heat.
What? With who?
I think
with who?
The crowd.
The internet fans?
Yes.
He spoke into the camera. Nobody
even,
in the
in the Wembley Stadium that 80,000 people in it isn't going to hear a slight little yelling job into the camera. He doesn't get heat.
Heat online.
With who? The internet already hated CM Punk because everybody was talking trash about him, saying that he wasn't letting these indie darlings do what they wanted to do. And now he just goes into there. That doesn't get heat. That doesn't do anything for
gets
you.
Gets heat. Hey, fry a lot of fans.
I think you're both wrong. I don't think he was trying to get heat. I think he was just frustrated and just said something just because
stupidest thing ever, too.
Like, yeah, he just let it get to him. It was boiling over for like a couple of weeks at that point. And he was like, hey, I have this spot planned. Might as well, you know, just get it off my chest. Which is a stupid idea, but you know it's what he did, and that's done. That's in the past now. Noah, you seemed like you had some more thoughts as the talk was going on, so I don't want to interrupt you. But I just don't think that his motivation was heat oriented.
So the reason Tony Khan aired this footage was because CM Punk went on a interview segment that was not affiliated, well, somewhat affiliated with WWE, but it's still like ESPN owns the MMA Hour and stuff like that, so it's not on WWE's network, and told people his version of the story. He went up to Jack Perry, told him, asked him why they exchanged words, things got heated, he shoved him, put him in a choke. Why then, if you're Tony Khan, you have this footage that all it does is support his side of the story, why then air it, confirming to folks that what he said was not only the truth, but I get that, like, hey, y'all want to be camaraderie and buddy-buddy and all this stuff, but this is a physical sport where things can happen and you have to be able to stop people from fighting each other. You know, occasionally tempers are going to blare. I got pushed around in football occasionally in high school. It happens at every single level of sports. So,
yeah, but if it happens in every single level, people get suspended.
Exactly. And
if it happens twice, people get cut off the team. And that's what happened. Punk deserved to get cut. He deserved to get released.
That's fine. Yes, that's great. But then why are you, Tony Khan, releasing this footage that fully confirmed what he said? Do you want to know why people fell in love with CM Punk? Because they loved the fact that he would stand behind his words and do something about it. It's the same reason why people love LA Knight. It's because he talks the talk and walks the walk. He doesn't just go around saying how grateful he is to be in a company, in a wrestling company. No, he has a little bit of swagger about him and stands up for what he believes in. He fights for what he says, and he did it. He went up to Jack Perry, asked him why. Jack Perry probably said something to the lines of, well, what are you going to do about it? And CM Punk did something about it.
Yeah.
And that just confirmed the story.
No.
That's all it did.
Punk said Perry approached him, first of all. Second off, he didn't mention that he shoved them in the face. He mentioned that he put him in he said, we exchanged words. I put him in a choke a little bit. He didn't mention that. Punk was the aggressor.
That's not what I'm arguing. I'm arguing about the fact that if you were Tony Khan and you air this footage, the only objective of this is to show CM Punk as somebody that's a wimp and somebody like that. Because his wrestling character, the reason people tune in to watch CM Punk is because he has a little bit of swagger about him and likes to fight. Wrestling characters are – nobody goes to the Taken movies to watch somebody that's going to sit around with their hands in their pockets and just be a wimp the entire time. No, they want somebody with a little bit of gruff. And all Tony Khan did was tell the world that, yes, CM Punk has a little bit of gruff about him, and he's somewhat of the guy that he plays on television, so you might want to watch him.
Well, you know, this is a great thought, and we will continue this. We got to go to a quick PSA break. We'll be back as we read messages. Welcome back. Cooper, you haven't said anything. You're the resident. I won't say you condone CM Punk's actions by any stretch of the means, but you CM Punk as a wrestler. As a wrestler,
I like him
more than anybody else in this room.
Yes.
So I'd like to hear your opinion on this.
Noah is getting behind me.
It's radio related. Continue.
So yeah, I do like CM Punk as a wrestler very, very much. At one point, I think it's fair to say he was my favorite wrestler.
That's fair.
So obviously, I have somewhat of a dog in this. I have been on record as thinking that CM Punk's relationship with AEW post All Out 2022, I believe, was nothing but toxic for both sides.
Sure.
Punk clearly was incredibly, like, he was out of that company the second that he left the press conference. Mentally, he was done, and there was nothing that Tony Khan or anybody backstage at AEW could possibly do to keep him there. He was going to get out one way or another. The All In situation, I think, was further justification of that. You know, clearly he was already, one, fed up with Perry from the previous time at Collision, in which he refused the real glass spot, and now seeing it being brought up in conjunction with his desire to leave the company already, he figured, I have nothing left to lose, might as well go out swinging. So, the decision to air it on your television show, I think is a bad one. I do not understand the thought process behind it, particularly since, as Noah mentioned, not much is contradicted. There is the aspect that, yes, we now do officially know that Punk was the aggressor, but I had thought that that was already assumed by most people.
Yeah.
in particular by Punk fans themselves, and that they think that that was good and cool of him, actually.
I thought it was also confirmed as well when he said, I can't let you get too close. I thought that was what I assumed that as I tried to get separation and then went for a joke.
Perhaps. Although that might also be that I think he was implying that Perry was getting close to him, which was not the case. Perry was standing
and did not move,
and then
Punk came up to his face.
Yeah. So that being the only possible real contradiction, because everything else does play out pretty much exactly as he describes, and I don't think that there is any possible way, even if. This was entirely different from his recollection of events, it still wouldn't have changed anybody's mind. Because online Punk fans being what they are, and online AEW fans being what they are, that was a no-win scenario regardless.
Lose-lose.
So I do appreciate, though, the effort to tie it into storyline a tad with the Young Bucks promo. I think the Bucks delivered that opening very effectively. I thought it was really funny, just because their delivery as these new EVP characters has consistently been funny to me. I liked them referring to Jack Perry as, you know, good SoCal kid like ourselves. obviously it is going to lead to a Perry return. Probably a dynasty, and they justified showing it by saying, hey, FTR, Punk's friends, you put him up to this at All Ins to cost us that match, and so now we want to get back at you and get our win back. Flimsy justification as that might be, it is a justification, and I understand that thinking that because you have that storyline element that people will look at it for that, but that is negating that AEW's audience and pretty much all of the pro wrestling audience in the modern day is extremely online and knows so much about the meta level of everything that happens on their screen So I think it would be naive to believe, which, I mean, obviously I think Tony knew that that people would know what it was about. I just don't think it was effective cleaning the company's image of any, like, you know, kind of hate, because that's a losing battle all the time. And I think that for the most part, like, everything that could come out of anything good that could come out of showing it would be better achieved by probably just, ignoring it and continuing on and trying your best to play to your strengths, which is putting on excellent professional wrestling matches. I think also putting Ospreay out there to address the Triple H stuff, it's second place marketing, which is what AEW has always done throughout their career, and it's kind of what they've built their brand and their backs on, which is fine. Like, that's a reasonable enough way to go. But the thing about doing that is that you're not going to be first place. And if you're happy with that, that's fine. I'm happy with that. Like, you know, I watch that show regardless.
Yeah.
Because I like the things that I see on there, and I know that it's a second place in terms of, you know, financials and business. I know that it's not the highest game in town, and yet I watch anyways. So they don't have to prove anything to me. For the, like, doom and gloom about it being the end of AEW, that is, quite frankly, that's hilarious. Any company that is as big as AEW is, with as many investors as AEW has, as many parent companies as AEW has, in the modern day, in the modern television landscape, those types of operations don't tend to die.
No.
TNA has been on the air in some form or fashion for the better part of two decades.
The thing is...
that's what you're saying, AEW will be around as long as Tony Khan is alive.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Tony's never going to back out of that company. Right. Unless he I don't think he'll ever sell WWE, because he hates WWE. But two, like, the only reason WCW isn't around is not because they couldn't have got a platform or couldn't take it. They just didn't like the money they were given, basically. That's why they ended. They were going to give, I think, like $50 million. They're like, that's not enough.
And also, New Turner execs didn't want wrestling.
Yeah, New Turner execs didn't want wrestling.
Yeah.
Tony Khan owns AEW, and he is a billionaire with a B. Matter of how you slice it, you know, he is a billionaire. He has money to throw, you know. And they make, I mean, even if they don't make a lot of profit, they're making, between merch, between pay-per-views, they actually get pay-per-view buys, because, again, it's not just on Peacock, between the live attendance and other stuff, and having your superstars go out and stuff like that.
Sponsorships.
Yeah, because they have a lot more sponsorships than WWE had. They were in the sponsorship game a lot better, I think, for, like, actually implementing it in the matches and stuff like that than WWE has. Plus, again, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the game for a very long time, as long as Tony Khan sees fit. Because, I mean,
so was what's-her-name that owned TNA?
Dixie Carter.
Dixie was not a billionaire.
She was not a billionaire.
And second off, TNA's still running 20 years later.
Yeah, but it's not on a major television network.
It's still running, though. That's my point of, like, death of. It's not going to die. Second off, what matters ultimately is the Warner executives see a lot in AEW. You know why? Because it's really cheap to make.
It's incredibly cheap.
It's incredible. Wrestling, that's why everyone wants a wrestling company. It's so cheap. Like, guys, it's so cheap to make.
And it's consistently, even with...
Even if it's not the highest rated, it's still pretty high.
It's consistently one of the most watched shows on its time slot on that night.
Exactly.
Well, hold up. I believe it's not that the wrestling itself is cheap to make. It's the fact that they don't have to pay any money to make it. Whereas, like, if you're doing, like, a sitcom, you have to pay for the sound.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure
that's what we're saying. Yeah.
I want to make sure I understood.
Tony Khan's fitting the bill. Like, it's not, they're not paying for that. Like it were in WCW, where it's like, before, they own, you know, Turner Broadcasting.
Just to play devil's advocate for these people that are saying it's going to be the death of AEW.
Why would you advocate for the devil? Unless it's MJF, in which case, have fun. Yeah.
Just to say, I don't think these people are saying it's going to be the absolute death. They're going to go completely out of business. I just don't think, I believe they think they're going to be not be as popular as they are, and the ratings will continue to fall down, and people are going to stop watching, and eventually something's got to happen.
Well, I think you're – then to play devil's advocate to your devil's advocate, one, I already – the point stands. Second off, wrestling's really hot right now, guys. It really is, like WWE especially. And if you look back the last 10 years before Triple H took over, I mean, WWE for the last – I mean, lower and lower attendance. Everyone complains about AEW's attendance. One, half those pictures were either that they post or half the times when people are leaving the shows or stuff like that. Second off, WWE's attendance had the same exact problem before COVID. It was really the pandemic that helped them a lot because, again, people were – stuck in their homes forever, and the only thing that was on was wrestling. Because, again, you can just, it's readily cheap to wake. You can make it from a warehouse, and Vince was never letting that ship sail. I think that right now, AEW's down. They're not as hard as they were in 2021, right? I don't think they're going to go away. I think this being the death is so, such a stupid statement to make. Because, inevitably, WWE's going to go cold. Who knows? Rhea just got injured. Roman's gone. Maybe Cody flops, you know?
He is.
Maybe. Well, I don't believe that yet. People, Roman fans are already bad faithing him, but like, bad faithing him. Roman, for look, are you shaking your head at that, Cooper?
Has he cried tonight? I want to say this, though, Logan, if I may, just before we go to break, because we're talking about the business side of it. And I agree with most of what you're saying, though I don't think the pictures are the issue. I think it's like the number of tickets sold might be the issue in regards to that. Like, forget what a picture looks like. If it's 2,000 people in a 10,000-seat arena, questions to be had. But I think, Cooper, you brought up an interesting point about the business side of things and how it's like, oh, it's going to, like, cure the hate or whatever, and it's not going to do that because, like, there's nothing to do that. I do agree with that. Like, there's no – you're not going to be able to convince people that hate AEW to not hate AEW after you release this video, and I do agree with that. But I think what this video shows me is, to quote multi-award-winning show Succession, that Tony Khan is not a serious person because – we talked about that suspension, right? And we hear about that, oh my gosh, Jack Perry got sent to the shadow realm for what could have possibly gone on. And then it's like, okay, this altercation happened. The boss probably knew about it. He goes on TV and says it. Then he gets attacked, in quotes. I mean, yeah, we'll say attacked. And then it's like, I'm going to suspend you for 6 months. And I'm like, really? That's like, now that's one of my big takeaways. Like, this is all that happened. Like, I thought Jack would have, like, got pulled away and then lunged back at him and, like, swung or something. That's not what Punk said, but I'm like, okay.
Or instigated
they,
it.
Yeah,
or
they sent this guy away forever, like you guys were just talking about. And all I'm seeing from this is, really? Like, that's what happened? And again.
Yeah. The response to this was, I think, just incredible breakdown in leadership from Tony Khan.
Yeah.
In the sense that there was none, essentially. you know, although in the months past that, they have been on an incredible, I think, rebuilding phase. The past couple of weeks of AEW content, I think, have been some of the best in the company's history. And yeah, to now suddenly bring this old wound back. You know, we hear reports from backstage. People are not happy about it, and I'm not surprised why. Although, thankfully, they can now officially, that now that it's canon, now that it's aired, move past this and move on to a new chapter as an excellent collision the Saturday had showed to me. So, I don't know. I'm more optimistic about the future of it, but that is not to say that this was good because it wasn't, and never let anybody say that I think that this was a good idea because I didn't.
All right, well, with that being said, we're going to go to a quick PSA break. We'll be back. We're going to end this talk. Move on. Some Matchlet wrestling talk. Stay with us. Wrestling talk. Jack, if you would like to air any grievances, it is your time. If not, we will move on.
Well, this is not my bread and butter. I do not really care for backstage drama, and I'm a fan of Perry and Punk, to be honest. But I just it did seem silly to me to air this. It really feels more like AEW missed their time to where it would have hit harder. At this point, it just feels a little petty. And as much as I've been a fan of what Perry has been doing, like, I've actually enjoyed the stuff apart from this more. And when he came out doing playing it up again at Windy City Riot, I was like, oh man, I gotta hear about this again. I like him being a good and loyal member of the House of Torture more.
Cry me a river. I don't think he's in the House of Torture much longer, brother. He showed respect to somebody.
Dang, if only
they never do that.
Yeah. That's true. If only we could trade Tangelo and Chase Owens for Mox and Jeff Perry.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How about we trade, instead of Tangaloa and Chase Owens, we get Yoshihashi.
Oh, Christ.
Just Yoshihashi. How about that? Guys like Cooper. Yoshihashi and who else? We'll give us who's a junior? We'll give us Despy. How about
I will
that?
Take that. No, but really, what I think is someone – I've been watching more AEW lately just so I have more to talk about on the pod. Not this because I just don't care about it. But I think it stuck out to me. I thought it was funny kind of what Noah said. I feel like playing this almost plays into the thing that Punk's doing on TV right now to the point where it almost made me laugh. I was like, it feels like they – WWE could have paid them to put this on TV with how much it's playing into the feud that Punk is doing with McIntyre right now. That's the main takeaway I had from it. I don't really care anymore. I might have cared a little bit in like the first month after it happened, but what, like a half a year? It wasn't stupid.
It
blows over my head completely. Dude. What really happened this week was Windy City Riot.
John Moxley, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every WWEGL's favorite wrestler, John Moxley.
Don't
won
you
the
dare
IWGP.
Buddy, in WWEGL's favorite
well,
wrestler.
You know, when it's a 3-1 vote, ultimately, that majority power overpowers.
One?
Yeah, because you're a guest, so you're not.
Yeah.
I'm on more episodes than him.
You think we count you?
A 3-2 vote.
Three
the majority.
Vote. 3-3. Daniel Locke doesn't like him either.
Daniel Locke is not on the show.
Even less of a real member than Alex.
Alex,
hey
yeah.
Man, you and the 238 people that were at Collision
on
Saturday
on.
Really love John Moxley. That's congratulations, everybody.
Well, you know what? Collision was actually a really good wrestling show, Alex, and I'm glad that you said that.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, doesn't make a sound.
I was there.
Azumi?
Oh, sorry.
Azumi versus Tony? Come on, man.
No. Was Collision
you,
match of the year?
You talk about women's wrestling and how you're all the same, but you don't actually watch good women's wrestling, Alex.
Logan, respond to Jack.
I was just gonna say, was Collision back in its regular time slot this week?
Yes.
That's all I was trying
not
to
11:30.
What did happen on it this week?
Azumi versus Tony. We had a really good main event. Okay. I think Cooper's going to hate to say that because it involves one person he is somewhat not fond for. BCC Claudio and... Danielson versus Hobbs and Fletcher.
It was reluctantly very good.
Wait, who do we not like in that group of four?
Kyle Fletcher.
Oh, okay,
Fletcher.
I thought you were going to say Powerhouse Hobbs, and I was going
to
have a heart attack.
No. Hobbs can do no wrong.
No, he loves Hobbs. Wait, what do you have to say about Fletcher?
Ain't that the dude with a weird haircut?
Yes, that is the dude with the weird haircut. He is also one half of Aussie Open, and he is the second four.
Where's
he's
the other dude at?
He's injured. He's going to be back soon, though.
Yeah. He's been injured since
he's
they
injured.
Debuted.
No. He was injured when they signed. He came back and worked a couple months.
They had
he got
a nice little
again.
Month-long run.
Brother, you don't remember when he was like on the pre-show of All In, brother? Like,
yeah, right. And lost the tag titles.
Well, oh, my God.
Yeah,
great
I remember
match,
that.
Guys.
Don't no, it was not a
no,
great
I know,
match.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
That was really sick.
Oi, oi, oi.
There you go.
We also had Angelico versus Daniel Garcia, which
that
is very
fun.
Yep. Shibata versus Lee Moriarty.
I saw some clips
yeah,
from that.
Oh yeah. House of Black versus the Franken team. Not really, but interesting. I think they said they're living the gimmick. Top Flight is because I think Darius was actually getting his pilot's license, and
yes,
that's why he wasn't on Collision.
Yep.
It was a team of Dante Martin, Action Andretti, and Matt Sydal, everyone's favorite BCC member. I think Rosa had a promo. And
a very good promo.
Very good promo.
Yeah, really hyped up that match with Tony and gave it some much-needed heat.
We also had Battle of the Belts where we confirmed we're getting Roger Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the international belt.
Yeah, Roddy kneed Kyle in the face after he tried to help out his downed opponent.
A very good match between Shane Taylor and Hook.
An excellent, yeah, that match was ruled.
And Athena, she is free. She is free. Can we believe it?
I don't know. She's free for 1 week.
For 1 week, she is free.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
No, that match ruled. Athena is like one of the greatest of all time.
But looks like we might get, I don't know if Aminata's moving straight to Athena maybe next, or is she going for Billy again? She did come out at the end there.
I could see a Billy rematch probably. Uh-huh.
but I pretty good 3 hours of content for AEW, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I watched it all, you know, in one sitting, and just because I was so hooked on it. No, it was the show that they needed for me at least. Yep.
I also liked, I really liked the Swerve and what is it? Swerve and Joe angle they had on Dynamite this week.
Oh yeah, yeah, with Dustin.
Yeah, with Dustin.
Yeah, that was a really smart way to play up that feud. Still,
and give Dustin a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. That brother can absolutely go.
I also liked Mariah May versus Anna Jay. Anna Jay's really gotten better and very recently. I honestly think after the Scapegoats excursion, we might get an Anna Jay excursion with that Stardom partnership.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Queen's Quest, baby.
Uh huh. Yeah, she got a lot of TV time recently.
Yep, and Will Ospreay had the promo we talked about. We had the bluest man of all time, Penta, versus Adam Copeland.
Oh, brother. I love that match. Give me more Edge doing Lucha.
Lucha,
absolutely.
Lucha.
When can we get a belt on Penta, man? That's all I got to say.
Oh, please.
True.
Any of the
true
belts.
Well, they're just going to create another one, man. Have one another
true
700.
True. True.
He's right, and it's good.
Yeah. I don't care.
What are they going to call it? The North American, you can't even come up with a name for. Come up with a name for
the Lucha
Belt.
It's the AEW in space because they've done international.
He's
continental.
Leaving. He's exactly leaving. I think you know
the intergalactic title.
I think that, officially.
Yes, I couldn't think
thank
of the word.
You, thank
all
you
right, all right, all right. Awesome.
Alex
awesome
is officially the new.
All right, so all right.
Windy
NWA,
City Riot.
The territory days, brother.
All right,
Windy City Riot. He's gone.
Doing a little
Mox.
Now's our time.
Mox.
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 Not
Mox.
I have
Mox
anything to say about it.
Man.
This did rule though. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Are we talking about
Naito and Mox.
Well, yeah. I think it's only been two shows. We were in the mud for a little bit, but Sakura Genesis and Windy City Riot were very good. We might be so bad.
Possibly.
I have to say.
We'll see.
Jack.
Yes.
I think we're back.
I think we might be bad.
We're back?
No.
We're back. Hey, I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Moxley versus I'm actually excited for Mox versus Ren.
I am too.
I think Moxley versus Shuda is going to feed families of Forbidden Door.
It's kind of funny they had to get an outsider champion to finally start working with the Ray. I am excited though. The whole Dontaku tour card dropped today, and it looks really interesting. Like the except for Owens and Kenta versus Bishamon too. Besides that, it's every title match I'm interested in. I think they've got Gabe versus Takagi 2 for the Never Open Weight, which will be great to see him get that shot.
That, yeah.
Nemeth is finally getting his defense against Tanahashi that he's wanted since he won it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Moxley versus Narita should be good. Narita's been talking some really good trash talking on a Tokyo Sports interview. You guys should try and look that up if you can. It made me laugh earlier. Nemeth versus Tanahashi. And then Tsuji versus David Finlay in a special singles match. ZSJ won the TV championship back. Feels like a bit of a step back, but I think they
but
just
hey,
needed to get
it off the
label,
other
yeah
person.
So that popped me so huge.
I think they just
I was like, this is a show.
They realized, I think they realized their mistake and just wanted to get it off as
Riddle
quickly as possible. What else we got?
How was Vakera versus Azumi?
Oh, it was great.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I am not going to watch a lot of Windy City Riot. I will be watching it once it officially hits for free on New Japan World.
Yes. We're also getting on Satsumi no Kuni, the show, the little mini sort of big show they do on Dontaku Tour. We're getting Doki versus Sho for the junior title and Takahashi and Bushi versus Connors and Maloney for the junior tag titles, which should be great, too.
Give them the Doki Choki.
Doki had a really fun match with
Fujita.
Kosei Fujita in a number of contenders match for this belt at Wrestling World in Taipei, Taiwan. Also on that show, the team of Tanahashi, Yano, and Bolton Owens.
The Young Lion. He has the first belt over any of the Three Musketeers.
Insane. Insane.
I'm going to let you guys know, a little behind the curtain. We had to do predictions after the segment.
Yeah, that's fine.
But before, I want to say this on air, a little backstage politics. We're pulling back the curtain this episode. I have found a match that I want to retro. It may not happen before the semester's over. I want to do it in the summer if we can. It is from PWG 2009. It is Alex laughing? Are we laughing at Noah?
Noah sent a funny text.
The Young Bucks versus Brian Danielson and Roderick Strong. And let me just say, the Young Bucks have never been beat this hard in their life. It had Nick's wife crying.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to watch that.
So at some point, I have the tape, and we will watch that. And I'm saying it now on the podcast. We're going to go to a quick PSA break. Okay. And Dynasty Picks, Jack's finally defending the belt after one week.
I guess since Noah's not on the pod,
he's not going to get any predictions. I'm wondering if he's listening to me right now. He's just looking at us. But
no chance at those belts.
No chance. All right.
As if he had a chance anyway.
We'll see you after this quick PSA break. Welcome back to WBG on Wiggle 91.1 FM. Dynasty, baby. AEW Dynasty this weekend. Noah, I know this has been a rough episode for you, man. But hey, guess what? You can win back the belts. And you can become.
I just don't want to hold these belts anymore. Like, there's nothing in this company that like makes me want to climb the ladder and grab the brass ring.
If it makes
like
you
there's nothing here. Like, this is,
you're a clown. Brother, he quits,
brother. We got 2 more weeks. We got 2 more weeks of regular wrestling, and then we have the summer. We're gonna have a lot extra time, and we're gonna be able to do retros. And you're gonna get to pick WCW shows for us to watch. You're telling me that isn't an incentive for you to stick around?
He's on his phone.
No. I'm trying to find good shows in 1977 for Legal Day coming up this Thursday and Friday. Tune in, folks. 24 hours of shows right here on Legal 91.1 FM.
And we will be celebrating working with the boardroom. I don't know how that's going to work. We're going to have to figure it out. But we're doing, for the first time in a long time, the grand tradition that's only happened once of doing a retro review that definitely was planned last year when we did it at like 7 o'clock in the morning and talked about WWE Backlash when Hulk Hogan won the belt. And it was definitely a great episode that we all loved doing and didn't hate. All right, Dynasty predictions. Will Ospreay, Brian Danielson. Jack will go last, so I'll start, and then we'll rotate from Cooper to Noah to Alex and Jack. Ospreay.
Daniel Bryan.
Dead naming him.
I think it's got to be Ospreay.
I also think it's Ospreay.
Young Bucks, FTR, in a ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Vacant. Young Bucks with Scapegoat helping out.
Mm-hmm. Bucks.
Bucks. Yeah.
Bucks.
Yeah, it just feels right to put him back on the Bucks at this point.
Yep. Julia Hart, Willow Nightingale with Stoke in a house rules match for the AEW TBS Championship.
Wait.
Willow.
If it's not Willow, we riot.
Willow.
I'm going to pick Willow because I forgot who you said she was facing.
Julia Hart, who's the champ?
Yeah, no, I'm still.
Okay. Copeland, Kingston, and Briscoe versus the House of Black. Normally, AEW does a lot of these tags, just gives the babyface a win. I think it's going to be the opposite time. I think it's going to feel into more of the Eddie storyline. I'm going to go House of Black.
I agree.
I think it's going to be the babyfaces.
If House of Black loses, I will give up once again, so I got to pick House of Black.
No, I'm also picking.
They're trying to get Malakai to re-up that contract, brother.
Yeah, he's getting that TNT title match with
useless endeavor. We're picking Kingston.
Timeless Tony Storm with Mariah May and Lutha versus Thunder Rosa. Give me Tony. I don't think the time for the belt to go off yet.
That Thunder Rosa promo was really good. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough to justify a belt change. I'm going with Tony still. She's still like the hottest act in the company, and I think the only person who can take it off her is Mercedes, maybe.
Thunder Rosa does a show with Bully Ray. Keep that in mind.
That's true.
Tony Storm.
It's timeless. Plus, that gimmick's got millions of years on it, so they got a lot of time with it.
I would pick Rosa if I was more like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to, I can't say what I'm going to say. We don't have time. I'm going to say Tony Storm.
You have time. You have time.
I was just going to say, if I had less on the line, I would pick Rosa. But I'm going to pick Tony because I'm defending this belt.
Okada, Pac, Continental Drown. I'm going Okada.
It's got to be Okada.
That Rainmaker, dude.
It has to be Okada.
Okada will reign forever.
Roger Strong, Kyle O'Reilly. As much as I would love to see Kyle O'Reilly with the belt, I'm going Roddy.
I'm also going with Roddy because they, I think, are going to, one, keep the Undisputed Kingdom belted up for a little bit. And I think that Roddy in particular will have another match with Kyle way down the line.
Yep. No.
I don't think this match should have been booked, but I'm going to go with the champion to retain.
Yeah, it really cuts off the Undisputed Kingdom's legs if he loses the belt. And, like, what is this, his first defense, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be Roderick Strong.
His first pay-per-view defense.
Pay-per-view defense.
I'll go against the grain here. I think he might really take it.
Nice.
Coming back for this.
In the main event, Samoa Joe versus Swerve with Prince Nana for the AEW World Championship. I swerve when I drive, so I'm going Swerve.
If not now, when?
Then, exactly.
It's got to be Swerve. I love Joe. I love Joe so much.
Me too.
And I've loved this reign. But, like, a good, solid, 4 or 5 months, that's all you need for him. It's Swerve's time.
I think it's got to be Joe.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Joe.
Because Hangman comes out cost, and you have another 3-month feud between a man that breaks into people's houses as a babyface.
They did the double.
It makes money. Could somebody tell me real quick where Hangman is at this current point? I thought, like, was he suspended? Was
off
that
TV? Okay. Oh yeah, he is suspended. Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, I assume what the in canon answer was. Okay, so in that case, then I'm going to pick Swerve. I'm also changing my previous pick, and I'm picking Danielson instead of Ospreay. Oh,
okay.
Wow. Well, I feel like with the AEW World Championship, you can almost, like, just feel it in your bones when everyone's about to take
yes.
the title change is about to take place. It just feels so clear every time it's coming up, and I feel like it's very clear to me, at least, that Swerve is going to take this title at Dynasty.
Yeah, it's very rare that they build to a moment mm-hmm. and don't give it to you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, very rare for AEW. We have a little bit of time.
Unless that moment is CM Punk versus the Elite, in which case you ain't never getting that.
No shot.
Good job on the timing there, boys. Marigold, new promotion announced by Rossi Ogawa, featuring Julia. Utami,
Utami Hayashishida.
Okay, thank you. And then I don't know the other girls, I'm going to be honest. I know that on one of
they like rated another company's like top roster though. I
know on they're gonna do a Wrestle of the Universe card and they're wrestling Muda's daughter. On
Great Sakuya.
Sakuya, yep. And she missed it. Rossi. I know Rossi dressed like the Day Man, and they're already hinting at WWE partnership. So fun.
Good luck to them. they'll be in business for I give them like a solid year, 2 years, and then they'll be in NXT Japan.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you want me to list out the whole roster? Because I pulled it up.
We got 30 seconds.
We got time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
Julia's there, too. We love Julia.
Yeah. Does it not say Julia?
It does say Julia.
Julia is there.
Mm-hmm. Yo.
At least the beginning.
Thank you for listening to WUGL Legal 91.1 FM. That is it for us. We will be back next week at 9 p.m. and Thursday at 9 p.m. for Weagle Day for another hour of rousing wrestling content. If you want to follow us on all social media places, on X specifically, you can follow me at By Logan Hurst. You can follow Jack at Average Start, your WWGL champion. You can follow Alex at by Alex Husing Mines. No, Alex Husing Mines by Logan Hurst. Noah is Noah_Phillips54. Cooper doesn't have a Twitter. Cooper, any last words?
Who's your hero? It's Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Cash is on him.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We will be back next week, 9 p.m. sharp. Follow us on all your podcast players and choices. We'll see you later. Goodbye. Mwah. And good night. Bang!